This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Family Matters is brought to you today by the letters LGBTIQA and the number one.
You are listening to Family Matters. That's a cute little intro. I like that. You're with Beck, Steph and Gina. Now, this is a show about rainbow families, not about the royal family, but we've got that out of our system now, haven't we, Steph?
Yes, we have.
I could talk about it for longer, but we have some
special guests in our studio tonight. We have three special guests, one who's going to remain very quietly in the corner. And we also have Damien and Chris Stevens-Todd. I can introduce you as that now because you have been recently married.
We have. G'day.
Yeah. Hi. When did you actually get married?
We're right on the 14th of April, so okay. Nearly 6 weeks now.
And was your wedding much like the royal wedding?
Nothing like it.
There was a few disasters in the lead up, though.
Much really? Like,
except for not family, it was just weather.
So. Not a stray dad selling their story to the paparazzi or something.
No, it's a big baby poo involved. We'll get to that story, I'm
Ooh,
sure.
I like the sound of that.
So 2018 has been a rather monumental year for both of you. You've had not only a wedding but also a baby.
We have, and she's beautiful, and we're in love.
We can vouch for that. She is so beautiful.
And, she, you know, for a three-month-old, she's so animated, and she's got these beautiful eyes and big smile. And yes, yeah. We've all been gooing and garring over your dear little baby. But the reason we got you in here tonight was because there was a story in your local paper, and it was something that when I was sort of putting together some research for tonight's show, there was a big part of me that just wanted to shut this down because I just didn't want a baby tainted with that sort of hatred, and I just thought these kind of people need no oxygen. But when I got to the end of the article that you'd written, Damien, I understood why we needed to come and kind of talk this through.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. It was not a nice article to see, and then it was nice to have the opportunity to respond because that was important for me.
Yeah. So perhaps let's backtrack a little bit and talk about how you got to the point where you needed to write an article. Mm-hmm. And maybe we can start with the baby and your journey through surrogacy, because, I mean, that in itself is an incredible story.
I want to go back further, Steph. What do I always ask people when they come in?
Sorry.
I always need to know the love story.
Okay.
Right.
I insist upon the love story.
Okay. Well, our wedding was our 10-year anniversary weekend.
I love it already.
Yeah. And so we met 10 years ago on MySpace. Do you know what MySpace is?
Yes. Very retro.
Socials, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the story goes that Chris was on MySpace scrolling through profiles one night and he saw, of course, you know, me, a handsome young man at the time.
Correct. Still
and,
are.
Thank you. And he saw that I was in a good job with a good salary and the rest is history, he says.
Yeah, ticked a few boxes.
Yeah, had pictures of your house on there too.
He's doing well.
I lived in a shared
house, so. And then 10 years later, here we are.
And what did you see on his profile, Damien?
Oh, I saw a young, healthy, happy, loving individual and
And were you both in Shepparton at the time?
No, I was in Shepparton and
I was in Bendigo. So.
Okay, so you're both country boys.
Not and born grown, and bred,
no.
But Chris is, but
yeah,
not
I was born in Shepparton and sort of tried to get away. And
right.
Come back.
I was born in the Big Smoke down here, but I've been up in the Shepparton region now for 15 years.
And what keeps you up there, both of you up there?
Probably family. Like, my family's all still there and work and, you know, family's probably a very big thing for me, so yes. Having them close by is important. And I guess now we're just settled and we've done a lot of work there that it's a nice place to live.
And for me, my family's not near me, so that's what keeps me up there.
It's usually one or the other, isn't it?
In truth, my grandmother lives in Bendigo, so that's, you know, a hop, skip and a jump, an hour and a half away. But my family's in Melbourne, so they're close enough when I need to come and visit for birthdays, and they're ageing now, so a bit of care. But, you know, we're close. I'm just joking.
I always say that. My family lives in Adelaide, and I always say to them, I like I've liked him a hell of a lot more since we haven't lived together, you know, yeah. in the same town. Absence makes the heart grow fonder.
That's it.
And Damien, you've been a very big part of the, I'm sure you both have, but I've heard you speaking about your advocacy work with the GLBTI community up in Shepparton, because I've been listening to Country Cousins on the radio for what? How many years? It's been a long time.
Yeah, many, many years. Yeah. It was even when it was the Also Show, and that was a long while ago, I think.
Right.
Yeah, with Crusader. And yeah. yeah, so each week it's really important for me in my role up in Shepparton, which has been LGBTI wellbeing for 15 years now, to every week come on to Joy and remind the listeners that yes, there are gays in the country yeah. and yes, there's gay events in the country, and LGBTI people all across Victoria should do all they can to be engaged and celebrate and be supported.
And what sort of changes have you seen over the 15 years that you've been there in the community?
Yeah, I think Shepparton now, you know, next to Daylesford, is probably one of the most inclusive, supportive regional centres that we probably have in Victoria. And I think I'm part of a team of people who can be proud to say that. We've done really good things there.
That's fabulous. Do you think people are surprised that there's gay people in the country? Like, do you think people think, you know, they'll live in Fitzroy and St Kilda and that's about it? Thornbury, yeah, that's right.
Well, many of the health services, you know, assume that, and in many cases, LGBTI people in rural and regional areas have to go to the big cities for LGBTI-specific health services. So it's, you know, it's kind of egg before the chicken. There's plenty of people all over Victoria, including every nook and cranny of regional, rural, and even remote Victoria.
You said there's, I guess, a supportive community in Shepparton, a lot you've been doing. What are some of the things you're proud of that you've been able to achieve there in Shepparton?
Yeah, so I think the biggest celebration that we have now in Shepparton, coming up to its seventh year now, is Out in the Open Festival. So we've had, right back in 2012, two events over 2 days. Last year, I think it was 14 events over 4 days now in Shepparton. So we've got our annual Out in the Open Festival, brunches, forums, you know, drag shows, meditation, dinners, all sorts of fun things. And Golden Valley Pride, which you might have heard of, yes. has been going yeah. strong now for 13 years. Yes. And every other week there's, a social event or a guest speaker or something to improve the health and well-being of LGBTI people in our community. And we're very inclusive of allies, because we acknowledge that, yes, there are less LGBTI people in rural and regional areas. And as we saw with marriage equality, we can't just rely on our community to support our community. So it's great to have our allies along.
So you mentioned health services, Damien. When you decided that you wanted to have a baby, how easy or difficult was it being in Shepparton to kind of access services
let's
and help?
Hear from Chris about
yeah,
that question.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I guess there's not really anything in Shepparton for, I guess, us to look to, and that's why, you know, at first, probably 8 years ago, we looked at India, and that chapter closed, and then we looked at, I think there was Thailand, and then we travelled actually to Nepal, and the laws changed while we were in Nepal, but we were there for some other things as well, so it was okay. And then we took a little bit of time off and then found Canada. So whether it's in the country or Melbourne, for straight or gay couples, Australia's really behind the ball when it comes to surrogacy and...
Certainly was 8 years ago, and we're only catching up now, as you know.
I think in some ways it still is, though,
yeah,
very
for sure.
behind. I think there's a lot of probably change that needs to happen here, and change which could probably prevent people having to go overseas as well. I think there's definitely scope for the system to change.
Yeah. Well, little Fletcher over here in the corner, she's 3 months old now and she's still not an Australian citizen, so we're worried about having to send her back.
You know,
shipping her back.
Oh,
it would be awkward, so we're hoping.
She's here on her 3 month tourist visa at the moment. So
She's not working.
No,
illegally.
No, she's on a holiday. She's
She doesn't have to go and pick fruit
no,
or something.
No,
yeah,
no.
good.
She's
okay.
in the right place if she did.
Yeah,
though,
that's
Shepparton.
Right. She'd be right in the right spot for that. Well, look, we are very much enjoying getting to know Chris and Damien, and we will have a short break and then be back to delve into their story a little more. You're listening to Family Matters.
Family Matters is brought to you today by the letters LGBTIQA and the number 1.
You're listening to Family Matters with Beck, Gina and Steph. I very much like that song because I very much like Keith Urban.
Me too.
Anyway, that's for another time. We are here with the wonderful Damien and Chris Stevens. Todd, we are probing them a little bit, Steph, in a nice way, aren't we, to learn all about them. And little baby Fletcher, who's very quietly in the corner behaving herself. Is
don't
she?
Don't poke her.
Yeah, oh, no, I'm just putting her dummy back in so she stayed quiet. So that's it.
So we talked a little bit about how baby Fletcher came into the world, and we started off with you explaining a bit about the process of surrogacy, but perhaps if you could talk a little bit more about that, because I think that that's something that, you know, we don't hear enough of here at Family Matters. We haven't had a gay dad on Family Matters. We were saying...
For a couple of months.
For a couple of months, yeah.
Great. So. Well, yeah, like Chris said, we went through 8 years of different channels and countries and then had a bit of a pause and then got ready to commence again in Canada, and Chris can tell you a bit about that.
Yes.
Yeah, so we were connected to an agency over there, and then the agency connects you to a fertility clinic, and then you have to get a Canadian lawyer, then you also have to get an Australian lawyer, and then there's the egg donor agency, so everything's all kind of like separate, and you just got to keep on top of it and try and communicate and make sure everyone else is communicating together, and then eventually... you know, Will Fletcher comes from all these different memes of back and forth. And
how much contact did you have with your donor?
Well, we have what's called a known donor arrangement. So right. We actually never met her right. or spoke to her, but we have all of her details. She knows who we are. We know who she is for, you know, I guess future. I wanted that for Fletcher in case that's something she wanted when she was older. Also, any medical kind of situation. We have a very different relationship with the surrogate, obviously.
Yeah.
But
so tell me about the relationship with the surrogate.
Choosing the egg donor and the surrogate was a bit like going onto a personal's website, actually.
Right, okay.
And yeah, no, well, yeah. You know, one of those. And like you're presented with profiles and hundreds, thousands of profiles, and so choosing hair colour, eye colour, you know, looking at the background of health of different, you know, ailments in families and whatnot for both the donor and the surrogate. And that's how we chose the egg donor based on...
I picked three, the top three, and then I...
It's like Australian Idol.
Yeah, I said to Dave, and I'm like, all right, you have the final pick. because we did use my sperm, so I thought Damien can have the choice on the final egg donor.
Yep.
And then the surrogates kind of like they pick you in a way. So we sort of had a profile. Our first two surrogates had to pull out due to health reasons, either from their children or themselves.
And that was totally okay. You know, we were matched with one and then a second surrogate, and both of them, as Chris said, one had health issues and one of them, her existing child, had health issues. And sure, it was a little disappointing for us after being matched, but by no means did we begrudge absolutely the surrogate putting her health before us. That's totally okay. Yeah.
Can I go back and just ask a question about the egg donor? When you were choosing your egg donor, what was the main thing you were looking for? I mean, obviously health, but was it what she looked like or...?
Yeah, so, like, my niece and nephews all look like me and my brother, and the Todd genes are quite strong, so I kind of, like, wanted my child to somewhat look like me too. So I thought, well, I've got quite fair genes, so I didn't want anyone with such dominating genes. So anyone with brown eyes, I'm like, you're out.
Yeah. So,
except that Damien's, you know, dark.
Yeah, he's got blue eyes.
I'm tanned.
So,
it's a tan.
And so I just looked for people with like fair
skin,
genes
fair
that
features.
My genes might try and dominate somewhat in. And as soon as people see her, even in Canada, people looked at her and said, oh, she looks like you straight away.
She does, actually.
And I didn't want to say that when I saw her, but I just thought exactly the same thing.
And we didn't look for anything else, like, you know, we didn't look for the, you know, world's best sports star or anything else. You know, we're pretty happy, modest people, and we just wanted a baby to love.
Chris, you were saying during the break about how important it was for you to have a child from a very early age, really, and very early in your relationship with Damien. Do you come from a big family?
No, not really. I sort of have two biological siblings, and I'm the middle child, so and then I've got a stepsister as well. My mum remarried when I was 15, so the family sort of grew a little bit, but you know, only for most of my life had like three first cousins, and I don't have many aunties or uncles. So, like, yeah, I sort of came from a very small family, but wanted one for myself and create. I guess I always thought I didn't want, when I passed away, my legacy and my part of my history just to end with me. Mm. So I just wanted that to continue, and that was another part of it. So how I saw it growing up.
Yeah, one of many parts. There's so many reasons to have a baby and to complete our family, and yeah.
So then you've got the egg donor, and then we're going through the choosing a surrogate, and you said you'd chosen two and they had to pull out for whatever reason. How did you end up with the surrogate that you had? What was it about her?
Well, we were asked after the two first attempts didn't come through to, I think the in thing was to create a video. So we created a short video about us being together for 9 years and why we wanted to have a child and the type of people we were. And then that video was uploaded to a surrogacy group on social media. And then almost immediately our surrogate, her name's Vanessa in Canada, and her husband Kevin, who have two children already, Ollie and Ellie, after Ellie Beach. Ah. She had an affinity for Australia. They all did. And yeah, so they saw our video. They said, oh, that's it, that family. These are the guys we want to help. And the rest is history, really. We instantly clicked. We went over to Canada and dropped off the tadpoles and went back a year later, and Fletcher was there.
I've got many more questions about Vanessa.
Go and for it.
So what was it that made her want to be a surrogate? Was this the first time she'd done it?
Yeah, it was her first time. And I guess she, like, had her two children and they had decided that their family, like, had finished creating their family biologically. They want to adopt and do other things. And she just wanted to help give someone else what they've had. So
what an extraordinary gift.
I know, I'm always amazed.
Honestly, having had three children and knowing what pregnancy does to you, I mean, it's an incredible experience, but honestly, it is hard yakka. I mean,
And she said that she'd had family and friends who'd had fertility issues, and she can only imagine what that, well, she heard and felt with her friends what that sadness was like, and she wanted to give the gift of that to someone else, and she chose us, which is amazing.
Amazing.
Amazing. So will you stay in touch with her forever now?
We do, daily.
Is she part of your family?
Yeah, we have a four-way group chat on Messenger with us and them too. And
we all have terribly gross senses of humour, so our messages are on the daily, and as our photos,
lots
and
gifts sending
lots
through
of animated pictures, and, you know.
But yeah, we send photos through all the time, and then they show their kids and keep up to date. And we'll plan to go back over there when we can, and they're going to try and come over here. Like, they lived in Australia for a year before they had children. And
great,
it's not contrived, it's not forced, it's just really natural. And we may go 2 or 3 days without messaging, but you don't then think, oh, I'm going to get in trouble. Like, it's just it's a very organic friendship that's developed, and she's offered to go for round two.
Wow.
That is fantastic and lovely that they've got children that can then become involved with your children, and
And I find, I think it's amazing too that you seem to have that relationship with her husband, because I can imagine, I often think the husband of a surrogate must be a really interesting position to be in, because you're watching your partner grow this child that's not yours.
Yeah, they had a funny situation. They went, he's like, oh, I've got to order something for my wife, but she's pregnant, so what can she have? And she's like, oh, congratulations. And he's like, oh, it's not mine. So they had a bit of fun with it.
I was going to say, I'd really enjoy doing that, I reckon. There'd
they
be a
did.
Bit of, yeah.
And then the waitress congratulated her, and she's like, well, it's not mine either. So then the waitress was really confused.
They were good sports. Yeah. They were really good people. Yeah.
And so tell us about when Fletcher was born. So did you go over there a bit before she was due, or how did that all happen?
Yeah, we definitely didn't want to miss it. So we went over 2 weeks early. Lucky we did, because she arrived a week early.
Oh, gosh.
We had a home birth, which was planned from the start.
So we stayed at their house in their Airbnb. So they had a very well-renovated basement, and we lived in the basement. And when Vanessa went into labour, it was my job to blow up the indoor pool, and then we filled the pool with water. It was a beautiful home birth.
And how did you feel about her having a home birth?
Yeah, Vanessa had her two kids home, so I kind of thought, well, she knows what she's doing, and we're comfortable with what she wanted, plus it's her body, and we were going with her decision for that. So, and I kind of liked it. It was much more relaxing. Wasn't just sitting around in a hospital. You know, we were just in their lounge chairs. And
did you have a midwife or a doctor there?
We
or?
Had four midwives.
Right.
Yeah, we
wow.
had. Normally there's one for the mother and one for the baby, but they each had a student with them as well, so there was four of us. But altogether, I think there was 10 of us in the basement.
It was packed.
Wow.
And it was a bit... it certainly wasn't a hospital environment, because when it began, us blokes were a bit cheeky. We were, cracking the beers in the cider and it felt like a bit of a party. And
I bet Vanessa was really happy about that.
She was really impressed.
Yeah, I can imagine.
And we quickly realised that was probably not going to work for the next 12 hours of labour. So... Yeah. So we, calmed it down a bit.
So then what's that moment where she comes out?
Yeah, wow. So I wasn't going to be right there.
At the business end.
At the business end. I the whole time said I'd be right up the head end, and for a few reasons, to be respectful and, modesty for Vanessa. But I think about 2 hours into the labour, Vanessa decided modesty was not her friend anymore.
That had probably
either.
Gone out the window, yeah.
And then by the time 12 hours later, the little Fletcher was about to be delivered, the midwife basically just said, she's coming, and pushed me front row seat right in front of the pool with
this
Vanessa.
This was like 6 a.m. at this stage, so we've been up all night.
So exhausted.
No sleep. Mm-hmm.
And then Fletcher came out and... I had a front row seat, and it was wonderful, actually. It was, and people have kind of, they get that look of, oh, that's a bit weird and that's a bit, but there's nothing sexual about it. It is so beautiful, it's just a wonderful experience. And she came out and went straight onto Vanessa's chest, and Chris was there.
I was behind Vanessa, so then as soon as she was lifted off onto me, and then I was quickly surprised how, Damien came and cut the cord, but then I was surprised how quickly the midwives ushered us.
Yeah.
To where our bed was, and then we laid there for an hour for skin-to-skin contact. And then
Vanessa cleaned up and...
Yeah, then eventually made our way back to Vanessa and gave her a hold and then...
Oh, what a beautiful experience. That is a really great birthing story.
Well, that is beautiful. I feel like I want to have a baby now. I mean, not during the...
I've never heard you say that.
I know.
That's extraordinary.
Did I have a maternal bone in my body 5 minutes ago?
No. You did say out there when you were looking at Fletcher, my ovaries are hurting.
Yeah, that's right. So before I get out of control, we're going to have a quick break on Family Matters.
The kids are all right. As for our presenters, Family Matters, Joy 94.9.
This is Family Matters. I'm Beck, and I'm here with Steph, with Gina silently pushing our buttons. We are talking to wonderful, wonderful gay dads, Damien and Chris. We have had a message in from, I think, one of your fans, Barbara from, I say Castlemaine, but that's not right in my South Australian accent,
yeah,
is it?
Castlemaine, right.
Loving the interview. Damien and Chris's light beams far past Shepparton. They brighten lives they may never fully know, and Miss Fletcher is just the bomb.
Mm. Aww. We all agree with that.
Thanks, Barbara. That's
Barb's
lovely.
Made Fletcher a beautiful purple blanket.
Oh, she bless. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Barb.
So, coming back to Australia with baby Fletcher, you did what a lot of parents do, and you put an announcement in the Shepparton News.
The birth notices, yeah.
Absolutely.
That's
as
where
we've
you put
all done.
A notice when you have a baby.
And then something happened that you didn't really expect to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we were in trying to get home, actually, when it happened.
At the airport, weren't we?
And the airport stuffed us around, and we were stranded in Canada for an extra day. And next minute, someone tags me in this post on Facebook from a group, and it was our birth picture that had been cut out, taken a photo of, and this
uploaded.
Big hate speech about the three of us from our birth announcement. And it was kind of like we were lack of sleep and delusional, but so I didn't kind of get to take it in until we got home to Australia some 30 hours later. So yeah, and I think I half expected it, and I was disappointed, and I wasn't angry.
Chris,
but
why did you half expect that?
I think because everything we do, whether it's in the Echuca paper or Shep paper back home, there's always a little bit of backlash from the conservative areas of the town. So I think growing up in the country my whole life, it's just one of them things you just expect now. Like, yeah. You do something good, you know, 10 bad things are going to come from it.
I think that when they uploaded it, the message was something like, we've outlawed puppy farming, but we allow baby farming, or something like that. And that was just the beginning then of literally hundreds of comments that followed. Many of them actually were defending us, and quite positive, actually, more than half were. And there was another horrible one about, you know, why two men have a baby other than to play with it. Like, just ridiculous, stupid comments.
I hate people sometimes.
Yeah. And horrible things. And, you know, like, I have been working in the LGBTI sector and have worked on resilience and strength and those kinds of things totally just go past me now. But it was upsetting, don't get me wrong, and disappointing more than anything. But, you know, there are people who wouldn't have been able to handle that kind of vitriol, and they shouldn't have to.
But, Damien, as a parent, I mean, I don't know if you feel this way, you know, but as a mother, I think, attack me, but don't go near my kids. Mm-hmm. And did you get that sort of very possessive kind of, you know, it's almost a rage when someone takes, you know, is critical or takes on your child or not?
Yeah, I guess it. We did have that once we sort of got home and read that, and it really angered my family and some friends that they had to read, and then they actually were like, one of my friends was like, I'm sorry that you actually have to go through this.
Yeah. I'm leaving Facebook because that's crap, is what they were saying.
Yeah. So, and they did that. And even from that now, I've started, you know, winding off Facebook. And
did you send a complaint through to Facebook about that? Because that constitutes hate speech.
Many people reported it.
Yeah, yes. And we have laws in Australia that protect us.
And it just kept bouncing back saying, this doesn't breach anything, blah, blah, blah.
No!
Nonsense. But it brought so much more love and joy from that. So it actually did the opposite, I think, to what the post was meant to do, you know.
Most certainly did.
Every day when we're out in Shep, down the street, getting in or out of the car, at the bank, people would stop us because they saw it and congratulate us and just wanted to, like, give us a hug. And even still to this day, like yesterday it happened down the street, people are still, like, coming up to us and just telling us, you know, we're doing a good job and stuff like that. So I think even though it was such a horrible thing, it actually brought a lot more joy and good messages spread out there than what
Like the vote did for marriage equality. I think, you know, when you have hate spewing out of a minority of people, the rest of the people realise that hate is not okay. And I've always found that humans will do more to avoid pain than they will to achieve happiness, if that makes sense. And so when they can see pain in other people, they'll step up and they'll speak. And I think, you know, in a way that's what's happened here, and it's just wonderful. Yeah.
So do you think, you know, you get this sense on a day-to-day, on the street, in the bank, wherever you are, of people, you know, giving you support. So the hate is coming from faceless people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You don't get that sense from anybody that you are meeting in the street community.
No. Not at all.
It's just people who can hide behind screens that can kind of type up this dreadful stuff.
Yeah. And because it was a page too, like, it really didn't have anyone to it, like, there was no profile, so, you know, it could have been someone we've known, it could have been someone we've never met, and, you know, it's easy to hide behind your screen and type whatever you want.
Yeah.
During the vote time, we talked about that horrible time, was it, you know, awful time for everyone, but I guess I get the sense you guys have a sort of, I guess, public profile in Shep, given sort of the work that you're doing, those sorts of things. What was the experience like for you in that time?
It was up and down, because, yeah, we were, like, in the papers a lot, because we tend to be the faces that the papers call. I had to quickly ring my grandparents and tell them I was getting married and having a baby, because the Shep News put us on the front page. So,
yeah, you had to catch them up on a few things.
So it was a very up and down kind of experience. And once again, in the lead up, you know, we would do something and then you would get like 10 articles or edit things in the editor telling us why we shouldn't have something and how wrong we are and all them kind of aspects. But we kept trying, I guess, fight for it to show the young people and other people out there that, you know, we are okay and, you know, we deserve just the same as everyone else.
We're awesome, in fact.
Yeah.
Well, so you're funny you should say that, because we've just had another message that says, totally loving the show tonight. Love you guys so much and love every picture of Fletcher. You guys have a heck of a lot of positive support in our community. From little Jason in Ivanhoe.
Oh, that's lovely.
So
thank
we're hearing
you, Jason.
From your fan club tonight.
Yes, Fletcher appears on Instagram a lot now. So.
For me too, something that's always been at my core is hope. And hope is what keeps me going. And I believe that in every dark corner and in every person that is doing something that's hateful, I believe that there's something that can be healed and they can do more, be more and have more. And so for me, I think about where they're coming from and why before I actually think about the fact that they're attacking me. And so that helps me to stay positive and keep doing this work I've done for 15 years. You hear of people getting burnout in community services, you have to have self-care and you have to have hope, and that's important.
And I think it's really, to me, it's really positive to hear about the experience you've had, the positive experience in a regional community, because I think sometimes regional communities get a really bad rap for being small-minded or, you know, whatever it is. But I get that sense that there's that real support for you guys, which I think is fabulous.
Yeah, like we were out for lunch the other day and the owner of the cafe said, oh, you're trying to get her to sleep? And I said, yeah. And she's like, oh, I'll do it while you eat. And she took her away and put her to sleep. And so, yeah, we have a lot of support and a big network of people around us. You know, everyone's, you know, there's about 50,000 babysitters waiting to have her. Yeah. So
we could go away for 6 months and come back and she'd be, you know, she'd be
all
well
sorted.
Looked after.
That's right.
And have you, this is $1 million question, have you actually left her yet with
anyone?
Oh,
you'll be surprised. We have. We have.
A few times.
Yes.
Our first time we left her was when she was 3 days old.
Yes. That might surprise you, but Vanessa, the surrogate, you know, we felt she might like a bit of time with Fletcher, and we were in Canada and we thought, well, 3 hours we'll give her. Well, we can go to the movies.
Yes,
so we
not?
Did. We did. And it was tough. But, you know, we thought, well, we always wanted a strong young lady, and she'll grow up to be a beautiful child. And, you know, our parenting's different, I suppose. You know, we just, we're all different, and we just thought, she can handle it. She's tough. 2 hours without dads,
she'll
be right.
Fine.
That's it.
Just at grandma's and auntie's, you know, I play netball twice a week during the week. And so every now and then, she'll just go and spend time with her grandparents. So,
A full day at work.
But they can't get enough of her.
No.
Yeah, they're besotted.
Tell me, I love her name. Where did Fletcher come from?
I found it in a book, and then I really loved it. And that was before we knew that she was a girl.
Chris suggested it, and I said, no, I don't like that name because it reminds me of a character on that TV show, Chris. And he said, oh, okay. So he kept looking for more names. And then he came up with the name Jarvis, and he thought I'd hate it.
Yes.
But I was like, yes, I love it. That's a great name. He was like, oh, okay.
That backfired.
So I said to Chris, compromise, we can call her Fletcher or call our baby Fletcher, irrespective of the sex at
exactly
birth.
Exactly right.
And Chris agreed, and then we made Jarvis the middle name. So Fletcher Jarvis means warrior and sword bearer. So she's going to be one tough little girl.
She is. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Fletcher's Arrowmaker.
Yeah, Fletcher Arrowmaker. Yeah.
Fantastic names.
Beautiful. So what is your hope for, I guess, other gay dads in your situation or other rainbow families that, you know, you obviously don't want them to experience what you experienced on the internet, but where do you think, you know, what's the next step, do you think, for rainbow families in our community?
Our experience in another country has been really seamless. Sure, there's been a few little teething problems, but to be able to go to another country to do this entire process at phenomenal expense, well over $100,000. You know, our little Fletcher here will be paying off the loan on herself if we were, touch wood, to die tomorrow.
No pocket money for you, Fletcher.
Definitely not.
You know, I think it was really, not only was it seamless in Canada, but it made sense. You know, we're two people who love each other, who want to bring a beautiful child into the world and to raise her as part of a loving family. What can possibly be wrong about that? And the system, and, you know, I think, so what I think Australia needs is a far simpler, accessible, maternal health system to be able to support having children for whoever wants to have a child.
Yeah, absolutely.
And having done so much work within the community, is that something you're going to add to your list, Damien?
Wow. I'm still working full-time now, both in and outside the sector. And Shepparton's been my baby for the last 15 years, and I think my focus will continue to be regional and rural work. Chris has a little bit of spare time now. He's the stay-at-home parent. Maybe he has a plan.
Yeah, I definitely do want to look at the laws in Australia, and, you know, and once again, like, each state and territory have different laws.
Oh, it's really
again.
Confusing.
So it's about, you know, I guess now rallying and trying to get them a little bit more streamlined and possible for people to achieve having a family.
Beautiful. Well, now we've nearly solved all the problems of the world. We're almost coming to the end of the show, but we will be back just very quickly after the break on Family Matters. You're listening to Family Matters. I'm Beck and I'm here with Steph and Gina, and we have been having a wonderful conversation, haven't we, with Chris and Damien,
really,
the Gay Dads of the Year. We have had a membership come in, Hannah from Footscray, so thank you for that, Hannah. Now, as you girls know, when I'm not here, I'm on air on Wednesday night on Chicks Talking Footy. So I need to put my Chicks Talking Footy hat on very quickly. Damien, Pride Cups in AFL are the thing of the moment.
They're exploding, aren't they?
Tell me about the Shepparton Pride Cup.
Yep. 23rd of June on Saturday, the Shepparton Football Netball Club and Maroopna will be having their first ever Pride Cup. So come to Shepparton and check it out.
Are they arch enemies, Shepparton and Maroopna?
Oh, they're opposing teams. Of course they're arch enemies.
Yeah, I love it.
And who's the favourite?
Oh, well, I live in Shepparton, so I'm going to have to say Shepparton. Right. Once you pass the causeway over the river to Maroopna, you're in trouble.
That's right. Pride Cups are amazing, aren't they? Like, they've really taken off in regional areas. And I think, as you were saying, as we were talking about before, you know, it's so important to give that visibility, I think, to the LGBTI community. Do you think things like that make a difference in towns like yours?
Most certainly. And that's why in places like Shepparton and Hamilton and Gippsland, there's Pride Cups coming up. So travel to those places and support
them. I went to the one in Hamilton last year, and it was just amazing to see this really quite conservative town, no offence, Hamilton, but it's true, covered in rainbows, like down the main street. And it's, I mean, football brings people together everywhere, but in the country particularly.
So what sort of crowd would you get at Hamilton, say?
Oh, I'm going to say there was probably, I don't know, a couple of thousand people there, which is pretty good.
Yeah. That
and
is.
You'd hope for the same in Shepparton?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Great.
Bring
it on. Great day out.
I'm coming to Shepparton just for those babysitters alone. Like, I'm hooking up with the lads immediately after this show, because I'm the stay-at-home parent and I need some babysitters.
And your daughter does love a drive, so.
She loves a drive. I had to do that all night last night just to put her to sleep, because she's got
Jean.
Yeah,
she's very tired.
Anyway, I'm going to fill up the car with petrol for tonight.
Wonderful. Well, thank you very much, Damien.
Thanks for having us, Chris.
Thank you very much, Fletcher. Well behaved.
I'm sure your Harper wouldn't do that.
Making a pull on my ovaries for the evening. You have been listening to Family Matters. I'm Beck. Thank you, Steph.
Thank you, Beck.
Thank you, Gina.
And up next, thank you, Beck, sorry. Up next is Well. And after that is, make sure you stay tuned for our woof, woof.
Grrr,
the bears after that.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.